TuneIn Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From off the wall, give that baby back his ball,
leave other people things alone. There's other ways to get involved. Get involved, get involved.
Don't be no fool, stay in school. Yes, man, let your mind become a tool.
Just one meant for fools to be locked away from society.
Get involved.
Bahamas, let's go!
Come on, come on, come on, come on!
Don't be no fool, stay in school. Let your mind become a tool.
Jail were meant for fools to be. Lock away from society.
Train our boys to be good men, and they will help our nation mend.
Giving service, that's the key to an answer, society.
Get involved. Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Let's say good morning to KB and friends for one of the best remixes, one of the best reimaginations of one of the best Bahamian songs ever. Get involved. And so many Bahamians are involved, and so many Bahamians are actively, pun intended, trying to get involved. They're trying to find their space. They're trying to do what they can do. They want to bring the best of them to the collective, and they're trying to find a way to fit in. And we must learn how to create space for people trying to get involved. Here are two Bahamians getting involved. First of all, Tanya Hanna. Tanya Hanna, premier jazz musician in the Bahamas, is hosting an event this Thursday, April the 25th, called Still Standing at the Spotlight Lounge. You can find details online on the Spotlight Lounge Facebook page and on Tanya Hanna's Facebook page and at ariamusicclass.com, website for the music school that Tanya Hanna runs. Also, another Bahamian who is the epitome of get involved, Mr., I like to call him Uncle Cornelius McKinney. We are not related by blood, but we are related by passion. I am so proud to be a Bahamian because Cornelius McKinney is a Bahamian, and this is a Bahamian that used his resources to organize the first Bering Point Fish Fry Fest last year, and the second Bering Point Fish Fry Fest soon approaches this April the 27th in Bering Point. Be there or be squarely stuck on whatever island you on, but it's going to be a good time. Wow, thank you for that, Dexter. Thank you for that note very much. I'm going to share that with the production team. I'm glad that it wasn't my show. I'm very, very glad. Now, we've got lots to talk about. The papers are filled with stories. Of course, the Bishop Victor Cooper, Public Disclosure Commission chairman, has a word for us. We got to talk about the Andrus wildfire. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. There's a story in today's Tribune. I wanted to ask the question after seeing this headline on both newspapers today. In The Guardian, Omar Davis's mother says she couldn't believe his killer got 15 years. But I think I'm going to need a little more time to have a conversation about the effectiveness of the plea deal policy, the plea deal system recently introduced to the Bahamas judiciary. I'd like to get some experts on. Then yesterday I saw a video of a person on Myla Butler Highway reversing. Now you say, well, sometimes you get a reverse to go forward, you get a reverse back to go forward. That's not the type of reversing we're talking about. This person was proceeding along some Myla Butler Highway in reverse. That was his gear of choice for that journey. I know a lot of people think that I am over the top when it comes to road safety and talking about traffic matters. But perhaps you've never seen someone traverse Myla Butler Highway in reverse the entire way. Yesterday, when I was traveling from the west to the east on Harrell Road, the flow of traffic permitted me, because there was no one behind me, to slow down and allow a vehicle to enter the flow of traffic from the opposite side of the road. Despite the car in front of me also making space for them to enter the lane entirely, they decided that they wanted to hang out in the opposite lane. They wanted to occupy the whole road at one time. When I blew my horn and indicated to him that he had enough room to clear the opposite lane and to safely enter the lane of traffic we were in, his response was, I should just calm down. Don't worry about it. Let him do whatever foolishness on the road he wants to do in front of me. Perhaps he had not seen the video of the gentleman driving all the way across the Myla Butler Highway in reverse. Or maybe he didn't see the new debris in the road yesterday. I witnessed evidence of at least 3 traffic accidents that must have required at least one of those vehicles to be removed by a tow truck. It is a matter of crisis at this point. Just on Monday, I talked about the number of accidents I observed over the weekend. I am imploring someone to start a television show. Let's call it Road Battle or something, because we don't want to take the American People Them Show name. We don't want to copycat like that. There is enough content and footage out there for you to produce a weekly show highlighting all of the accidents that occur in New Providence. Let's go to what I think may be the most important story for today. In today's Tribune, the headline is NEMA sends fire tanker to assist in Andrus fire. But let's start here. Let's start in Monday's Tribune. Wildfire in Andrus last week mostly contained. North Andrus Administrator Beverly Larimore said no one was injured from the blaze, which is said to be mostly contained, and that no properties were affected thanks to the hard work of police and volunteer firefighters. The fire has been burning in Nicholstown since Thursday, but officials said it doesn't pose an immediate threat to nearby homes at this time. Well, let's go fast forward to yesterday's Tribune. Andrus residents leave for safety as forest fire rages. A forest fire in North Andres has forced some residents to leave their homes over health concerns and affected the sleep patterns of people protecting their homes from the raging blaze. Some residents, like James Storr from San Andres, say the fire is out of control. Government officials on the island have expressed a different view, insisting the fire is mostly contained to the forest and that no additional help is needed. Chief Superintendent Bradbury Stiles, the officer in charge of the Andres District, said the fire can't be accessed. Quote, there's nothing you can do, he said. You have to allow the fire to burn out. No homes, no properties, no businesses, no business is in any imminent danger. Close quotes. A Monday morning video by Mr. Storr showed pockets of fire burning in his backyard with thick plumes of white smoke blanketing the area. Some residents have also published live videos on social media showing the fire from their homes and asking for prayers for the community. According to Mr. Storr, the affected areas include Mastic Point, Low Sound, Conk Sound, Nicholstown, San Andres, Queens Highway, and Fire Road, with more than 1,500 people living in those areas. Now, before we go to today's story, I want to stick a pin. First, I want to say good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning, Erin. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad you're here to join me for this particular conversation. The first thing I want to note is the Chief Superintendent Bradley Stiles saying, there's nothing you can do. The fire can't be accessed. And I want to say, okay, so we know that we've made a determination that the fire cannot be accessed by fire trucks, right? So that solution is off the table. The first thing and I think about is, what about our brothers and sisters to the north, Florida, our U.S. brothers and sisters, that use helicopters for forest fire containment? Why have we not called them? Why have we not reached out to AUTEC and said, AUTEC, could you use your network and resources to acquire or to give us access to helicopters used for firefighting with the big buckets? They go down, they collect the water, they come up and they run it over the fire line. That's one option that I just thought that they had already considered and had on board, right? Like, you have that on the table ready to go when you need it. If the land is not accessible by vehicle, and I'm not arguing with that. I've lived in Andres. I've been to Andres. I got lost in the bush. I know what that is. Are you telling me that with overhead surveillance, you cannot manage to get teams on foot into the area to create a burn line? So you stop the fire by burning the fuel the fire is going to use to expand with a contained burn managed by people? You haven't brought in human resources from New Providence to work with volunteers on the ground to create a containment protocol? A burn line? So once the fire hits that line, it has nowhere else to go? Are we just sitting here saying, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen? If the winds change, if the winds are just going to change, is the strategy that we're just praying for rain? And is this what Family Island residents have to deal with? See, I already have a very, very long list of issues to put forward to Mr. Newry when I petitioned for the new Minister of Works to resign. Ministry of Works and Family Island Affairs have a lot of work to do, but let's stick a pin and go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Erin Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am so wonderful. Vex still vexed you and your papa cool. You and your Newry talking about all your papa yesterday. Make me jealous.
Make you jealous?
Yeah.
Listen, just stick a pin for 1 second. I want to say thank you to Tropical Gyros, who has given out gyros to all the Guardian audience members.
Oh, and okay.
Hold on, listen. They put a pepper sauce inside that gyro, Marvin Johnson. I believe he do it for you because it make me cry. It was so sweet.
See, you running right out this morning.
Morning, sir.
But listen, yes. Dan Green.
Yes, sir.
What you talking about fire trucks? Let me tell you something. You know how long people like myself, the CDN boys over there, made suggestions to the family, for the politicians, to the family islands about those fires?
Mm-hmm.
The politicians just don't care. See, they don't need a fire truck, per se, the big trucks like what we. They have some dually fire trucks that with the, you know, with the double wheels in the back.
Yeah, from rural areas. Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, they have fire trucks designed for that environment.
Exactly. They carry a pump, a heavy pump on the back of the dually, and with the hoses, and each settlement, they could drill, because they're close to water, they could drill and put a fire hydrant there, and that is what the dualies hook up to.
Mm-hmm.
They hook the hose into the fire hydrant, to hook it to the pump on the back of the truck, and the hose could go way down the road and extinguish the fire. These politicians don't care, Aaron.
Listen, my people from Fresh Creek, I like to claim it, but I wasn't born there, right? I from Chicchani Hotel Line. And from the whole power station in North Andres burned down. From the entire power station in North Andres burned to the ground. Surely, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas would have ensured that the proper resources are on that island, if only to protect government infrastructure.
They don't care.
I saw a picture of a gentleman, I presume to be the MP for that area, walking into the bush in a beautifully pressed, bright PLP yellow shirt. And I wondered if that's the new vest for the volunteer firemen. Why are you going to walk in the bush if you ain't fighting the fire? Anyway.
Aaron?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for taking my call, but simply, after 50 years plus 8 months, they don't care. I'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next call, and then we're going to read from the story, Nima sends fire tanker to assist in Andres fire. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron Cuz.
How you do?
And good morning, Mr. News.
Good morning,
Aaron.
Yes.
I want you to reach out to the police department and find out if they contact the U.S., like you say, with the helicopter for assistance in that fire extinguishing. That's a really good idea. Reach out to them and see if that has happened as yet.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
That would be good.
Thank you. Absolutely, thank you.
I think when you're requesting international help, it comes through Ministry of Foreign Affairs, actually, for that special request. Now, I'm not saying the idea is not a bad idea. The latter two ideas you give should have been enacted already. Mm-hmm. Having that fire line, making sure my mic is on, having that fire line should have been a given. Having volunteers on the ground should be a given.
And enhancing the volunteer crew with New Providence people.
There's no fire. What I must appreciate, I do not believe there are any fire crews.
For the family island?
For the family island.
They're all volunteer.
All volunteer.
And we want to say, again, condolences to the family of Jenkins, the volunteer fireman Abaco, who died in Abaco.
Mm-hmm.
Well-loved throughout the Bahamas, New Providence, Abaco. Right? These people, they volunteering and putting their lives on the line.
Yes.
I mean, and here I am calling for private people, right? Like private citizens to come and volunteer. Police, don't you all have officers that need training? Where's the National Youth Guard?
Mm.
Isn't this what we were preparing them for, to be able to assist the residents in a disaster like this?
I see NEMA has responded.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they have declared this a national emergency for them to respond. And I assume that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And if they have responded, they have all the resources of the fire, the police, the fire station and everything. They should have sent a team. I'm assuming a team is on
its way.
To be managed. You don't even necessarily have to be enacted, you know.
Yeah.
You can say, okay, I assess what the problem is. I see the plan. Let me do some strategic plan before
we have to go down.
I'm not sure if that is happening yet. And this is where advocate groups, corporate citizens there should be advocating, pushing for, say, this is not working.
Absolutely.
Calling for the MP. The MP should be on the ground. The minister should be on the ground. The fire chief should be on the ground. These people should have been there the moment you found that the fire cannot cannot be contained right then.
Right, absolutely. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Aaron.
Morning.
Morning, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
C.A. Nuri.
Blessings to you.
How are you?
Doing well.
It's the lady who you said close to Sunday to the tea party. I need your number for some of that pepper sauce.
No problem. Will do.
So here's what to do. Don't hang up the phone. Let the producer take your number.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll give it to Nuri.
Okay.
All right. Producer, don't hang up. He's going to take you right now. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Text, I see you. We're going to get to public disclosures as soon as I finish with this NEMA story. And then you see the Minister of Health, sir, said that the Grand Bahama Hospital will be finished before the end of his term. Let me read this article.
They started yet?
Yeah, they have done some work.
No, when I say start, I talk about real work.
Yeah, I read from the article.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's read from this one. NEMA sends fire tanker to assist in Andrus fire. A 2,000-gallon fire tanker is expected to arrive in North Andrus today to help contain a forest fire that has kept the community on high alert. National Emergency Management Agency, NEMA, Director Captain Stephen Russell said the additional truck would increase efficiency in fighting the raging fire amid concerns about water supply and access. We turn to page 2. Quote, even though they have a fire unit, they could only take so much at a time, he said. Mr. Russell said he contacted several shipping companies for help after learning that a Royal Bahamas Defense Force vessel was on a mission in the southern Bahamas. North Andrus residents have implored the government to send more resources to the island, claiming the fire is out of control. Some have had to leave their homes due to health concerns, while others were taking shifts watching the blaze. Longtime resident James Storr said the situation had not improved up to press time yesterday. Quote, what's happening is plenty Androsians over the last few days haven't catch more sleep, he said. Quote, they're watching their house and some watching their building or apartments. It's like we're doing shifts, people rotating to help watch the fire, close quotes. Captain Russell said a team from New Providence was sent to the island yesterday to begin assessments and determine how best to prevent the spread. Now, I want to stick a pin right here. Here is why not only does NEMA have to get involved, but the Prime Minister needs to declare this a national emergency right away. Let me tell you why, Mr.
But I thought NEMA works independently of politics.
Right, so
the Prime Minister doesn't declare, NEMA just acts.
At the same time, NEMA can act, but we still need the Prime Minister to declare it a national emergency. I don't know what the procedure is for invoking the National Youth Guard, young people who are being trained to assist the state and communities preceding, during, and post-national disasters. But perhaps it requires the declaration of a national emergency for them to be invoked. They need to be invoked. Let me tell you why. First of all, we are already considering the impact on human life. Illness, the impact on already ill people, potential death. Have we thought or considered of the valuable natural resources that are being lost, potentially being eradicated in this fire? Have the environmentalists been enabled to go in and make emergency assessments and determine whether the areas currently being affected normally house special endangered species, flora and fauna, from little iguana to special bird, to chickchanies, to wild, what do you call it, indigenous endemic orchids that only grow in the Bahamas. There are things, yet while the world is discovering new species, in fact, they discovered a new isopod in Bahamian waters, deep, mm-hmm. deep down the bottom of the ocean. They just discovered a new species in the water. There are potentially thousands of species that we have not identified properly in our Andrus forest that may be currently eradicated because of a fire out of control.
Aaron, pressure burst pipe. Andrew just needs to just apply pressure.
Absolutely.
And if they apply pressure, you'll see the government will respond in kind.
How do you?
In terms of emergency. Well, 1 minute. I see the NEMA head mentions that a team has been sent down. Who is amongst the team? Did he mention it?
No.
That's a problem.
Exactly.
That's a problem. We should know who's going down, what specialist going down, and what they plan to do. What's the objective? What they plan to do when they reach there? There's nothing. There's silence. And we just take it.
Mm-hmm. I wish
they're doing a good job. No, that's not. That's inadequate.
It's absolutely inadequate. I wish I had the notes from a story I was following on me where I saw the MP for Fox Hill, Mr. Fred Mitchell, acting in his capacity as the MP for Fox Hill, with I think the MP for South and Central, Andrus, who is also responsible for Crown Land in the office of the Prime Minister, where they are working together to, I guess, facilitate the movement or the process of people getting the Crown Land papers or something sorted out in the Fox Hill community. And I think to myself, why is the South Central Andrus MP in Nassau, why is he not focused on the dire needs of his community? Why is he not ensuring that the
people more important? There you go. Now you know.
Let me read some text and then we're going to shift to another story. But dear residents of Andrus and the Family Islands, please don't think me shifting to another story is an indication of a lack of concern about this issue or a lack of value.
They need to be up in arms and then the government will respond.
Absolutely. Here we go. Aaron, could you please clarify if the gentleman driving on reverse on the highway was traveling with or against traffic? If it was a stick shift, I'm thinking the reverse gear could have been the only functional gear and he was trying to make it to his mechanic. By the way, is there a law against traveling in reverse if you're traveling with traffic? Isn't that what tractors do? It could be a very useful feature if there's a stampede of rhinos or other wild animals on one of the spaghetti islands. Okay, so no, you cannot drive in reverse on a main road. Doesn't matter if you are moving in the direction of traffic. You can't. If your stick shift is stuck, if your vehicle is stuck in reverse gear, what you do
is park.
You pull up the emergency brake, you park, and you call a tow truck. Very simple. You call a tow truck. There is no reason to drive your vehicle in reverse down Samilo Butler Highway to the mechanic. Somebody, the Texas said, okay, thank you very much. I have to go back to the drawing board. Another text, Aaron, I hold my head as I say this, forgive me, but doesn't the PM care about climate change? Does he know it's his illegals burning the forest for coal? You saying that rogue and unwavered members of the PLP party are burning? Because that's the only thing you could call his. Mm. The only thing you could call his is the members of the PLP party, right?
Mm.
You saying is PLP's burning the forest for coal, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I'm just asking.
I have a texter asking if the person who texted just now is actually the person who's driving in reverse on the highway.
I hope not.
Yeah, because he's making all kinds of excuses.
Because it
doesn't make sense.
None of it makes sense. No. Dear young people. Even if your driving instructor tell you put it in reverse and drive down the road, don't. Do not. Text, Aaron, when last you hear from the Minister of Works, when will police start ticketing distracted drivers, especially those blatantly on cell phones? I saw a picture of the Minister of Works. He was, I think, acting in his capacity, his responsibility for Family Island Affairs or regattas or something. No, regattas are under agriculture, but he was talking to boat builders. He was talking to boat builders, which is probably a part of the Prime Minister's climate change plan. Mm. Another text. I feel as though someone will... great show as usual. The texter who's condoning driving in reverse is the donkey of the day. No, I think that texter was just being facetious. He was being tongue-in-cheek.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
You hope?
I'm hoping so very much. Mm. Another text. They say, yes, I was only being facetious.
Okay, good.
Good morning and blessings. Tractors and other heavy equipment should not be driven on the road either. They should be moved with a low boy. Could you please send this notice to the Ministry of Works? Mm-hmm. Imagine I am waylaid, I'm delayed, no detour signs,
mm-hmm.
trying to cut through town
mm-hmm.
because there's an oversized road paver, you know, the vehicle that has two big rollers, one mm-hmm. in front, one in the back, and they flatten the road.
Mm-hmm.
They are making their way to a paving project. Mm. Just driving that on the road. Mm-hmm. So as you go into a road repair project, you are mashing up the road that you're driving on.
Yeah.
I just want you all to know that if you ever hear a tone of bitterness and resentment in my voice, it is only because I can't get that job. Mm. I don't have a problem. I realize, forget it, I'll do it. If that's what you paid me to do, foolishness, I'll do it. I just can't get the job.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many times I put in my application, they tell me I'm overqualified to do foolishness on the road.
You're just starting to click.
Maybe that's it. I don't have a problem with that. Two more texts. No, I'm not and would never drive in reverse. There was another text to text, but good joke. I mean, illegal immigrants are in the bush burning trees for coal. Okay, true. I mean, if that's what some of them are, okay, that's cool. I ain't gonna fight you on that, mm-hmm. Dexter. I'm more worried
about a vast amount of trees being destroyed.
Yeah, by people who clearly know what the protocol calls are, but feel no obligation to follow them.
Mm.
That part. But I was thinking about the politicians that burn up Bahamian resources to produce a small feeling of satisfaction. Mm. Let's go to the phone line, and then after the phone line, we got it here from the Bishop Cooper, Chairman of the Public Disclosure Commission. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
How you do?
Good morning.
Yeah, I was calling about a traffic scenario that I saw last night and some BS that's going on in Blue Road in front of Yalla Primary.
Okay.
But I'd like to firstly comment on the fact that trees are being cut down and people are burning coal.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be a model being displayed by the media that you cannot speak freely of things that's happening. We have a prime minister flying all around the world talking about carbon credits and the carbon science, which they know nothing about. I mean, according to me, and the real science. So, you know, why would you allow this if you're saying carbon credits and carbon offset? Don't trees offset carbon?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking a question.
Yes, no, I agree.
So what's the point? It's all a farce. But anyway, I'll get to this because this concerns our little darlings.
Yes.
So I was picking up my daughter yesterday. And I was parked on the side of the road, and I noticed that Yalla Primary, I like what they did. They have a sign that flashes 15 miles an hour school zone, like it's like a,
yeah.
It's an emblem. You see the lights flashing, so it's north of the entrance to the school.
Okay.
But then to the south, they have the sign flipped to the west, so people really don't see it. So maybe they should put that sign also south of the entrance, because what I saw yesterday disturbed me. People are flying past that school. There's a little girl was on the sidewalk. I was watching her, but I thought she was going to cross the road, but she didn't. But she came close to the edge of the road. And I mean, people driving their cars, females who bear children and whatever males, and they're speeding. They're making like more than double 30, 40 miles an hour, passing the school after school children are still there. No police. What they need to, they can make a lot of money right there on Blue Road because it's a dual carriageway. They turn it into a raceway, but the speed that I'm seeing in the school zone and SC McPherson, CR Walk, well, basically CR Walk is on Market Street. What I'm seeing is SC McPherson and Yellow and AFRD are the only schools that are on Blue Road, and nobody is looking after. But AFRD should be in a safer position than Yellow Elder, because the speed, I don't know if it's the roundabout that's supposed to do, but I mean, someone needs to check it out.
Absolutely.
It's really ridiculous.
Absolutely, and your words bring to mind comments by he might as well be a doctor of tourism now. Robert Tan saying that the police are, and they're not worried about it because the police are always in key areas, right, to monitor traffic. And I wonder what that means.
The guys don't seem to
care. The word you're looking for is care.
Park on the sidewalks. I see people parking on the sidewalks, consuming all of the sidewalk. And then as a cyclist, you have to come into the road. And it's even
cousin,
pedestrians. I mean,
they 52.
Saying, people, I'm talking about business establishments, how people are parking, absorbing the sidewalk.
52 on Nassau Street, immediately south of the Nassau Street Police Station and the Magistrates Court Complex, there is a takeaway next to Bamboo Shack. It's all within a school zone, right? All of it's within a school zone. And in the morning, when children have to walk their poor self to school because their parents weren't lucky enough, right? Like, they weren't as lucky as me to be born into privilege, right? They got to walk to school and walk around the cars of greedy, lazy Bahamians that would park their car on the sidewalk to hurry up and go get their breakfast, while children who may or may not have had breakfast have to walk in the road to get to school.
Yeah, Ms. Green, I'd like to make a final word here. You know, the thing is, the reason why I don't celebrate nothing, right? There's nothing to celebrate. You know, I'm just at an age where I see things for what it is. No one can paint my reality for me. I would not allow anybody to do that for me. And I'm sickened of people now that's being controlled. The thing is, talking the truth seems to be a problem. George Orwell is correct. Have a good day, man.
Thank you. So two things, 52. This morning, on the way to the station, I watch a truck run the stop sign on the eastern side of C.R. Walker, turning onto Market Street, and the police vehicle right behind them did and said nothing. They did and said nothing, right in a school zone. The second thing is this, 52. Later in the month, before the end of April, hopefully, I would like to have a discussion about the role of the public intellectual. Another text. Good morning. Speaking of school zones, I passed Carlton E. Francis School yesterday. They don't have a drop-off area for the children. Basically, they get dropped off across the road, and there's no one on the pedestrian sign to help them across. I could be wrong, but that's what I observed. The school, Ms. Neer, you know the school on Nassau Street? What's it called?
Nassau Street. I know the public school. I forget it.
Anyway, I want to say good morning to the crossing guard that when I traverse that way, I see all the time. He is focused and dedicated to his job, and we say thank you on behalf of the little children. Carla, I see you on the line, but you hear the music. I got to go to a break. We get back from the break. I got to read this article. Public disclosure time. We'll be right back. You guys, stay tuned.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
You need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy, this real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your gal. Come witness history in the making at the 2024 World Athletic Relays Chase the Sun, Paradise to Paris, happening here in Nassau, Bahamas. Hundreds of the best runners from more than 40 countries will compete for their place in the 2024 Paris Olympics, May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets early at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium box office.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Mr. Nuri has joined me for a portion of the show. I have a text here that say, what if we bring back caning? Caning for people who driving bad and littering, caning for people for not disclosing. He says, I bet you three chicken patty everyone would disclose on time all the time. Producer, let's go to the phone line real quick, and then we're going to read this story. I have to read it today, people. Disclosure chair would not say who filed. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry you not there. Let's get to this article. Front page, Tribune, bottom of the fold. Mr. Newry, can you see if there's a similar story in The Guardian for me, please? Here we go. Weeks after the deadline passed for parliamentarians to make their annual financial disclosures, Public Disclosure Commission Chairman Bishop Victor Cooper still could not say yesterday how many completed their filings. Now, I just want to stick a pin. There's a difference.
Ask for his resignation again?
No, not yet. That's later on in the conversation. There's a difference between could not and would not. This article says Bishop Victor Cooper still could not say yesterday how many completed their filings. The deadline for disclosures, according to the Public Disclosure Act, is March 1st. Bishop Cooper confirmed that an extension was given to some parliamentarians who had requested it. However, he would not say who they were, claiming he did not remember.
He forget? That's old time. What do you call my father's called old timers.
Yeah.
You have an old timers.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the selective one.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's is the one you have relatively no control over. Bishop Cooper confirmed that an extension was given to some parliamentarians who had requested it. However, he would not say who they were, claiming he did not remember. He said officials would. You know, there's a difference between would and could, right?
I see that.
He said officials would, and returning to page 5, meet today, quote, because we're now going through the declaration. So basically, that's all I can say at this juncture. And once we're finished with those, which will take some time, we will give that information to the Prime Minister's office and the leader of the opposition, and they will do the necessary dissemination of that information, close quotes. Cabinet ministers who said they met the deadline include Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper, Education Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin, National Security Minister Wayne Munro, and Works and Family Island Affairs Minister Clay Sweeting. Some, like Foreign Affairs Minister Fred Mitchell, declined to say if they did. Mr. Mitchell later said in the House of Assembly he was, quote, irritated, close quotes, by journalists contacting him saying it was none of their business.
None of their business.
Don't worry, Sweeting. Mitchell will be on the list to keep you company. Last year, Bishop Cooper revealed that 90% of parliamentarians filed by the March 1st deadline. He added that many senators and senior civil servants failed to disclose their assets, income, and liabilities. The names of those who missed the deadline were not revealed. The Public Disclosure Act empowers the Prime Minister and the opposition leader to act concerning delinquent filings by forwarding the matter to the Office of the Attorney General for prosecution. The penalty for not disclosing is a $10,000 fine and or up to 2 years in prison. See, while we have to ensure that we are interpreting the use of would and could properly in the usage in this article, this sentence right here, the Public Disclosure Act empowers the Prime Minister and the opposition leader to act concerning delinquent filings by forwarding the matter to the Office of the Attorney General for prosecution. The question is, does the act compel?
No, compel is different.
Well, no. We need to interrogate the language. We need to interrogate it to determine, and it's unfortunate, I have those notes in my bag, some provisions from the Public Disclosure Act, and the provisions that govern the commission itself and their function, but we don't have enough time. But the question is the Prime Minister and similarly the leader of the opposition, are they in breach of the Constitution? Are they not living up to constitutional obligations? Are they interpreting the law as they have been empowered, which suggests that they have discretion, or are they interpreting the law that they are compelled? They are obligated to follow this process. I also want to note that the Public Disclosure Commission mentioned nothing about the portal. Perhaps he understands now that the problem is not a portal. The problem is the information to put on said portal. Let's get to the text line. The list should not be based on memory. With this statement alone, why does he even hold this position? Another text. Good morning again. You probably can't say this on air. I won't say it on air then. It's not bad. It's just a critique. It's not bad. Another text. How old is Bishop Cooper? I'm curious. Do you know if he finished high school? I know back in the day they used to leave school early. I don't think this is a question of the commissioner's intelligence.
It's a question of his competence.
I think it's a question of his ability to navigate constitutional obligations and political culture.
I'm more concerned that there is no political who said, Mr. Prime Minister, this ain't working. This gentleman right here, he just ain't working. He's not good at this job. Can you find a replacement? The PLP has a huge bench.
I want to argue against
huge
you.
Huge bench that they can find any competent person and say, man, here, take this job.
What if, pardon me, sir, what if the good bishop is extremely good at his job? What if he's doing exactly what is expected of him?
What you trying to say?
I didn't say anything just now, sir. I didn't say anything at all. Those weren't even words. Those were just sounds that mimic words and make you think I'm saying something. Mm. Here's what I would like to say, though. Darville promises new Grand Bahama... I can't even say it properly. Mm. Darville promises new Grand Bahama Hospital will be completed during his or this term of government.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Tuesday's Tribune. Health Minister Dr. Michael Darville promised that a new $210 million hospital with oncology services will be completed in Grand Bahama during Brave Davis's first term in office. He said foundation work for the project is nearly complete and preparations will begin soon to construct a 200-bed multi-story tower. Why are we constructing multi-story towers in a hurricane zone?
Well, you're trying to use as much space as possible.
I just want to know. He was speaking during a branch meeting at the PLP's headquarters in Grand Bahama on Saturday. See, I think the location of the speech is important to understand the context of what is being said and why it's being said.
He's speaking to sycophytes.
He said the Rand Memorial Hospital cannot accommodate the demands of the island's healthcare needs. Quote, many may not know that the Rand Memorial Hospital was never a public hospital, close quotes. He said, quote, it provided some of the tertiary healthcare services, but it was evolving around an MOU with the Princess Margaret Hospital for those services that were not provided.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that at all.
So there's no public hospital in Grand Bahama? Is that what he's saying?
It's 2024.
But is that what he's saying, that there's no public hospital in Grand Bahama? That this is a private institution for the second city? A city without a public hospital?
There's some good information, I think, for the public in the rest of the article. Dr. Darville also said, an e-clinical record to let people access their medical records, no matter where they are in the country, is in the works. Quote, this is good news because we intend to digitize healthcare services so that we can improve service delivery throughout the country. Can you digitize attitudes? Or can you digitize attitudes? He goes on to say, well, he said the National Insurance Drug Prescription Plan access through the National Insurance Board will be expanded to the National Health Insurance Authority so more people will access free prescription drugs. Under NIB, some 44,000 government employees benefit from the plan. Here is a headline from February 21st, 2014, 10 years ago. Minister promises new hospital for Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
The state-of-the-art hospital is expected to be completed in Grand Bahama by early 2017. There you go. We are all out of time. Tomorrow is Sports Friday. We got to do a weekly roundup. We got to see what these young people have been doing, the records they've been breaking, the stages that they've been holding across the globe and in the Bahamas, doing themselves, their families, and us regular Bahamians proud. Hey, Mr. Newry, thank you very much for joining me this morning. And as we leave the show, Don't stop sending me these texts right at the end of my show, please. Please and thank you. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.